away season by setting a new club record for scoring in every away game on a Premier League season for the first time in history. We don't like losing games, but with just one game to go on a title party at Anfield on Sunday, we've lost this one in the Premier League. Things started well. Brilliant by Harvey Elliott to set up to score the opening goal after wonderful play by Conor Bradley with the assist. Ayari got the equaliser. Brilliant strike by Dominic Szoboszlai restored Liverpool's lead. Second half had great chances to increase the lead. Mo Salah missed a sitter from a Gakpo cross. Salah was denied by the keeper. Great save by the keeper. Gakpo missed a great chance on the edge of the box. Diaz had a chance as well. But then Matoma, who came off the bench, equalised to make it 2-2. And then after a VAR check, substitute Jack Hinshelwood wins it for Brighton. It ends up here at the Amex. Brighton 3, Liverpool 2.
That was Steve Hunter, and this is The Reaction. We will be hearing from Arne Slot after the Reds' season on the road came to an end. We'll also be getting the thoughts of former players Phil Thompson and Jason McAteer alongside myself, Becky Davis. First, though, to the Amex Stadium, where Ray Houghton watched the game with Rob Jones.
Well, quite the atmosphere here at full-time at the Amex. Brighton beating Liverpool by 3-2, and it was certainly a result that meant a lot to the home team.
Yeah, it certainly looked that way, didn't it? And sounded that way when you listened to the crowd at the end of the match, and players coming in the tunnel were absolutely delighted with their performance. And they came back twice, 1-0 down, 2-1 down, all credit to them. You could see that the impetus was with them. They finished the second half very strongly, got that third goal, which gave them the 3 points in the game and keeps them in with an outside chance of a European place. So, yeah, there was more for them to play for today, certainly, than Liverpool.
I think we predicted pre-match that it was going to be an open game, the way that Brighton press and go man for man added to that. But from a Liverpool perspective, two good goals, one from open play and then the set piece just before half time.
Yeah, you know, and there was other chances. You know, Mo had a great chance where he went with his left foot. I thought he should have went with his right. I think it would have been an easier opportunity for him. And then the first half as well, Conor Bradley, you know, when it was 1-0, if he had scored then to make it 2-0, it would have been an uphill battle for Brighton to get back into the game. But yeah, they all look at it as well. They had chances in the match with Danny Welbeck when he missed a good header, and there was one in the second half he also could have done a bit better with. But overall, I actually thought it was a really entertaining game. I thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, looking at the tactics from both managers' point of view was really, really riveting from my point of view. You know, you like to look at what they're trying to do and the options that they've got. Yeah, so overall, thoroughly enjoyed the match. And the only thing from, I would imagine, from Arne Slot's point of view, he'll be looking at the last three games since they've won the title. Conceded three against Chelsea, two against Arsenal, and obviously three again today, which is not like Liverpool. That's not the way that they've played all season, but maybe the focus isn't quite as it was when they were trying to win it.
From a tactics perspective, then, it is interesting watching at the level we did it in the ground as to that press of Brighton's leaves gaps in sort of odd positions, and it's a very high risk, high reward approach, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I've spoken to like a few of their fans and people who work at the club at half time, and they said this is as well as they've played for quite a while. So they were fairly impressed with the way that they tactically went about it. They did press high up the pitch, and they did gamble. They needed to gamble to get the victory. But you've got to give them a lot of credit. You know, they were, as I said, behind twice, but still had the focus and the impetus to come back and get the 3 points which they needed.
Personnel wise, it felt like Kaori Matoma changed the game.
He was absolutely brilliant. Some of the touches that he had, and obviously the goal that he scored, the way he had to manoeuvre his body to get over the top of it to keep it down was absolutely incredible. There was one ball that got played over the top and his touch was absolutely exquisite, but he came on and made a huge difference. It just gave him a different dimension, you know, and he's been sadly missed by the Brighton in the games that he's been out injured, but it came on to really good effect.
When you look at the selections, and again the tactic that Arne Slot is trying, do you get the sense that he's looking at some things for next season and things that could work in the future?
No, I think what he's doing is just having a look at some of the players that have been on the periphery. And there's lads that have been very patient, waited on the sidelines, didn't get their opportunity, just wants to give them some minutes to see what they can do. You know, you couldn't fault the lads for their energy or their commitment or attitude. That wasn't in question whatsoever. It was just gave away three goals, which they'll be disappointed with, you know, and on the back of what's happened in the last two games as well. But, yeah, listen, all the hard work's been done earlier on in the season to get the 20th league title. But you want to finish the season a little bit better than you are at the moment. 1 point from the last three games doesn't look good, and the fact you conceded eight goals doesn't look good. You know, people will be questioning them. But overall, you know, it's still been an excellent season for Liverpool.
And you would suspect that the sense of occasion on Sunday will get that 5 or 10% that might have been missing at times in the last three games.
Listen, you think we looked at the bench today and it was absolutely extraordinary, the number of players that were on there and the quality that was there. Every one of them will want to be in that starting 11 for the game against Crystal Palace. It's a game that you want to enjoy. You know, it's going to be an unbelievable atmosphere. Everything about it's going to be first class. And the manager's got a hard job trying to pick 11.
I think he might go back to strongest, don't you?
He might do. I don't know. Listen, he'll have his own plans in mind. You know, he'll ask questions at the start of the season, the players, about their attitude and what they can attain this season. And they've done extremely well. And he'll be absolutely delighted with what you've seen so far.
Ray, thank you very much indeed. So 90 minutes to go in Liverpool's season. The Premier League champions against the FA Cup winners at Anfield on Sunday before Liverpool lift the trophy.
Our big thanks to Ray and to Rob. Now, as mentioned, Phil Thompson and Jason McAteer are alongside me here in the studio. It is a warm welcome to you two as ever. Look, the big job's already done, Tomo, but still frustrating to lose, isn't it? Especially after the way Liverpool played in that one. Probably feel hard done by to not even get a point tonight.
Yeah, I thought it was a good game because it ebbed and flowed. We had great chances, they had great chances. And you just felt we got a bit sloppy at times. You know, like the Fulham game when, you know, you're there, you get in front, and then everybody gets sort of too, because you know that, I know we hadn't won the league by then, but it was just at vital times. And doing the commentary with Steve, when that one came to Mo and it comes off his heel and you go, wow, that could be a big moment in this game. And so it was, but I thought it was a good game of football. The damage has already been done. They feel like they've beaten Liverpool at the best. And we weren't. If we really wanted to turn it on, and we are better than that, I thought we could have easily won that game.
Yeah, I think it would have been a very different game had something still been riding on it from a Liverpool perspective, Jace. Mm. But we said pre-match, didn't we, it was a tough one to call in which way it was going to go. And there's lots of mitigating circumstances, big changes to the lineup, but still a really good performance overall, I think.
I agree with Tom. I thought it was a really, really good game, certainly for the neutral. And we identified it possibly could have had quite a few goals in it, didn't it? We got it. You know, it ebbed and flowed. It was, you know, 1 minute they were on the attack, played really good football, should have scored a couple of goals. Liverpool, obviously the same. And then there was a moment in the game where Liverpool created two or three really good opportunities. I think Salah was the standout one where he should have gone with his right foot, tries to go with his left, comes off his heel. I think if that had gone in, a big moment in the game, you know, then they have another opportunity straight after that. You know, Liverpool could have been out of sight and Brighton could have been looking at a defeat, but that wasn't to be. And then you've got to give credit to Brighton. They come back from behind twice.
Yeah.
Then they get the goal. It was, you know, was it offside? Wasn't it offside? We were all waiting. You know, the automated offside, you know, gets it right. And, you know, Liverpool find themselves, you know, 3-2 behind. But it was a performance. I felt that Liverpool really did deserve something from the game for their efforts. But you're right, there was a lot of... It's hard to judge Liverpool's performance because of all the circumstances go into it. The complacency because they've already won the title, the changes, and the fact that they've been away as well. So, like Tomo said, had Liverpool been at the best and it was the strongest team and it was something riding on it, I think Liverpool would have won the game tonight.
Yeah, there's always going to be an element of things being a little bit disjointed, I suppose, when changes are made. But we've seen games previously this season where changes have been made and the performance has been nowhere near that level that we've seen tonight.
Yeah, but you see, you know, Connor, who I thought had a fantastic hour in the game, and you could see where he was tiring, he made the substitutions. Then you see sort of Costas was tiring, and then all of a sudden it's like your brain goes dead a little bit. And I'm looking at Thibaut as a centre-half, and the one where Matoma comes on, slips it down, he comes out and he's literally right next to Ataro. And you're going, no, this is wrong. So all those little things, if there's something really on the game. They don't make these decisions. And I thought, besides anything, And because you've had sort of days off, you become sort of a little bit sloppy as well. And I thought at times that was it and allowed them back in the game. We wrestled control back again. And then we just lost it at vital times. But you do think the Mo Salah one was a massive moment in the game.
Yeah, potential turning point, that one, Jack. I think he himself couldn't believe that it wasn't in the back of the net.
Yeah, he's so predominantly left-footed, isn't it? You know, sometimes instinct takes over and you lead with your strongest foot, and it was the perfect opportunity to go with his right. The defender might have, you know, put him off a little bit, but, you know, a man of that quality and, you know, his numbers he's posting, you'd feel it was, you know, a sure to go in the back of the net. But Tomo's right. I mean, you know, sport's really difficult sometimes when the job's done and complacency can set in. And like Tomo said, you make uncharacteristic mistakes, like out of position. Maybe, you know, that half a yard that you would sprint if there's something on it and there's a consequence on the game and the result, you make it. You just don't quite make it when there's no consequence. And at this level, when a team's looking for something, looking for points, you get punished.
And in all seriousness, over the years that we've enjoyed Mo Salah, I think that's one of the biggest misses that he will have had. You've seen his face when he went into the back of the net. And I'm trying to think back, and yes, I've seen him sort of miss chances, but not like that, not on his left foot, not 6 yards out. So it was uncharacteristic. But
yeah, the job might be done, but for him, it's not done yet, Jase, because he's still chasing a lot of records that we spoke about pretty much, but there's lots still on the line for Mo.
Listen, there's another game chalked off, and I think he's got a little gap, hasn't he? Was it 2 or 3 he's got in the Golden Boot? Yeah. That's the one he'll want.
Yeah.
But like Tomo said, that opportunity, listen, he might not get another opportunity like that. That would have really cemented, I think, the Golden Boot for him tonight had he scored that, because then you're looking at, is it Haaland and Isak are looking at hat-tricks, aren't they, at the weekend, which is, it's not undoable, but it's maybe slightly out of reach last game of the season. But listen, he's got that little comfort zone, so you can't see it being beaten, but that tonight would have really helped him.
OK, we're going to hear from our Zoom panel now. Let's get their thoughts. Sam Milne, we'll start with yourself. I imagine you share the frustration of the lads in the studio, but also you're looking at a game and thinking Liverpool really deserve to take something from that tonight.
Thanks, Becky. Yeah, I mean, before the game, I'm not sure any of us are too fussed. We've almost been more looking at transfer rumours than we have the football in the last few days. And then when it starts, like the players, you want to win the game once it starts. You know, these players aren't professional athletes for no reason. They've got to the top of the game because of their will to win. And now, you know, it's disappointing not to win, but then you see the scenes at the end and the away end, and I'm not too sure. You know, come next Monday in the parade, I don't think anyone will be thinking, oh, we should have won that game at the Amex.
Carlos, let's come to yourself. Disappointment, I'm sure, but as Sam says there, the away end, I think, still enjoyed maybe a weekend a lot of them have had down in Brighton. But what were your thoughts on the game and on the performance as well?
Straight away when they scored that third goal, I just thought we didn't deserve to lose that game. I thought they played really well. I think just like were ruthless up front and ruthless in defence, really, in their defensive kind of aspect of it all. I was a Liverpool fan. I want Liverpool to win every game. But in the back of your mind, we won the league, so it doesn't really matter. But I still don't think we deserve to lose it. And, you know, honestly, like we're saying ahead of the game about how it has been hard to motivate his players after they've won the league. But I thought all those players were motivated today. You know, the players who haven't been playing as much, I thought, started the game quite well. You know, Chiesa had been putting a ball out over to Mo Salah early doors, a brilliant ball, and they looked really busy and that kind of thing as well. And Elliot scored as well. So, yeah, I'm just a bit disappointed they lost. It would have been nice to get a few more points on the board, but they've still got a good gap between them and Arsenal. They've won the league, and yet the fans, I thought they were brilliant from start to finish. All the songs are out there, and the Chiesa song's been sung brilliantly as well. So, yeah, we'll go on to Sunday and lift that trophy.
Yeah, Sunday will be the big one, of course. We're going to go to Kathleen Pasqualini. You have been watching over in Delaware. What did you make of that one, Kathleen?
It was a great one here. We had a great crowd of fun today. We're all disappointed that they lost, like everyone else said, but it's a champion, so that's the important part. And it was nice seeing some of the players that we don't usually get to see in the starting 11, so that was nice.
Okay, thanks, guys. We'll get your thoughts on more a little bit later on, including, of course, the trophy lift and the parade a little bit later. But let's talk about the goals. We'll start. Perfect start, Jace. It seems like ages ago now, Harvey getting the open.
Who got the first?
It was Harvey.
Connor. Tom was
great
right.
Great work from Connor Bradley.
Yeah, he had a great... he had a great hour, Connor Bradley. Created loads of opportunities, and we highlighted them at the top of the show, didn't we? Of all his skill sets and what he's good at, and we were talking about how he's different from Trent and what he offers. And Gary Gillespie touched on it, didn't he? His powerful runs, his dribbles, and getting in good areas, he manages to get his head up, and he provides a great ball, a great lovely ball from Szoboszlai to Mo Salah, who's a lovely little touch, puts Connor Bradley in, who's forward thinking, running there, just picks it up and. Gets past his man, and then he has the opportunity to pull it back, doesn't he? And he just jinks it, doesn't he?
Yeah. The defender's trying to read it, and he steps out. Yeah, he well. Connor just drops a shoulder and goes past him. Mm. But the move was, we had about five or six passes before Dominic actually scalped it out to Mo. And we got through their press, and it was in our own penalty box, and we've moved it out. Everybody's just thinking about Dominic's ball out to Mo. But then Connor's on his way. The only thing with Connor that you were trying, but you don't want to negate it, is that he's got to pace himself, because he keeps on going. That's why he sort of gets very tired after about between 60 and 70 minutes, because he's made so many runs.
That's a good point, that, because his natural inclination is just to
yeah, I was the same,
because, Jace has played that, and Jace has gone and gone and gone, but it comes a moment as you gain experience where you go, no, I've just been on a couple of runs. I've got to, because you make sort of three or four of them within a 10-minute spell. Yeah. Then I'll take it out of you. And you've got to defend. You've got to do your job. And Jace has seen that happen. Yeah. And you learn it. You learn how many times Trent did. Trent used to do the same when he was young. He kept on going and he'd blow up with about the last 15 minutes. So I think he does that. But it's a wonderful asset. As we've seen what Trent's brought. Connor, I don't want him to stop it at all, because he goes on those surging runs. We've seen it for Northern Ireland and he scored goals there. So he's got that potential to have assists and to score more goals. Because he had a wonderful opportunity inside right. I don't know whether he was trying to square it or go for goal, and he didn't do it. But for an hour, he was sensational.
Yeah, interesting one for you, ideally. How do you rein yourself in, I guess? Is it just experience, like Phil says?
It's managing
your instincts, isn't it?
It's managing your enthusiasm, and when you've got the instinct to go forward and you want to help out and you've got the energy and you're feeling like you can run forever, your natural instinct is to get forward. And Tomo's right, they got to a point in the game where you've got to then manage it. I had Ronnie Moran, you remember the whistle, Ronnie's whistle, and half the time it was at me just to rein it in a little bit, because if you go, there is an element of danger that you're leaving, and sometimes the rest of the team's not set up for you to just go, and you've got to be able, I think it comes with experience, you have a little look around, you see the right time, but also you've got to manage your energy and your expectation levels of what you've got in the tank, and that'll come, the more he plays, we spoke about his development and playing more and more, he'll grow physically, he'll pick and choose his runs, he'll, the game, funny, is it comes in patterns sometimes, and you know when to go, and the experience knows when to hold back, and he'll figure it out himself. Yeah. He's a bright enough player.
But it's still, when he gets in there, you've got to be calm. You've got to pick your chance. That's why he drops the shoulder and the guy steps to his right and he goes past him. Now you've got to make sure you pick the right pass, because we did it. We had the same chances in the second half and we didn't pick the right pass. Yeah. And he's picked the right one. Now Harvey again, who's had an absolutely terrific game, and he was all over the place. You worry for Harvey still, is that last 10 or 15 minutes, you have to manage it to still be in the game.
Plenty more to come on The Reaction, including the thoughts of the boss. Arne Slot is on his way. Stay with us.
Liverpool are the champions of the Premier League. Liverpool, once again, the kings of England.
Reds, thanks for being there for every kick,
every tackle, every pass,
every goal,
and every save.
This season, we never walked alone.
Shop the official Premier League Champions range right now. Exclusively available at your official LFC stores. Online at liverpoolfc.com/store and on the official LFC store app.
Yeah, welcome back to the Matchday Reaction. Phil Thompson and Jason McAteer are here discussing Liverpool's 3-2 defeat to Brighton down at the Amex. A defeat that Liverpool didn't deserve really tonight, but let's try and cheer ourselves up by talking about the second goal from Dominic Szoboszlai, Tomo. I think this was a goal that stunned Brighton and potentially even stunned Dominic Szoboszlai himself, because I'm not sure whether it was a cross or whether it was a shot. What was your take?
My take is that he's meant it. I said it straight away, but I'm looking who is there within that vicinity for him to be, if you want, trying to whip it when you get in there from that position. But when you look at it, when you see it from behind the goal, you can see his foot, you know, like Ronaldo did, and he's got that foot, and he gets it up and over, and he gets that dip. I thought he meant it. My learned friend, Mr. Gillespie, didn't think he meant it. But I would take umbrage with that. I think it is a great goal. There was only one thing I just said to Jace. There's only one thing which took it away is when they were around him celebrating.
Well,
he went.
Yeah, which like to that. Me implies that maybe.
And I thought, But to me, he has meant it.
Listen, either way, it's a superb goal. What was your take? I know what your take was, I think.
Yeah, at the time, I would cross. I mean, we were trying to debate it, weren't we? But there's a strong argument, I think, with the player. Listen, had that have been Tsimikas, I'd have gone, it was a cross. But Dominic Szoboszlai has got that in his locker. Yeah. He's technically fantastic. And he will pull the trigger. Mm. He's got every kind of shot. You know, he can drill it. He can bit of fade. He can draw it. He's got it in his locker. And, you know, I'm going to... Tomo, you've taught me into it. I think because you can see him doing it, and he can do it, and he can execute, I'm going to go, he meant it.
I'm sure.
The look might have been... Oh, because that's a difficult technique, isn't it? That, like, with a bit of whipping, you know, to get it up and down.
So I'm going to go, oh, I've
just got
it
right.
Over such a big goalkeeper. Yeah. I think the goalkeeper's embarrassed because he's been done by that. And he goes, oh, I've hurt my ribs. It's an embarrassment injury.
Hopefully somebody is going to grab him for a post-match interview and we can get
him. Yeah, we can get him.
Just on his role tonight, he was obviously in a bit of a deeper midfield role alongside Ryan Gravenberg, and he seemed to thrive there. Lots of energy. He always brings so much energy.
He brings so much energy. I can't believe his stats. And they have stats for everything now. He is just incredible. He goes and goes, and I thought he had a great game. I think the worry was he'd had a couple of bad fouls, and the referee one time, I think he was telling them it was about sort of at past nine, and he was looking at his watch, thinking, why is he doing that? And then, but I thought, he's in a little bit of trouble. No, he didn't get booked, but I think that's why they made the substitution. But he played a massive part because he gets about the pitch, he causes problems. And I thought his position today, I thought Gravenberg was the man of the match. I thought he was absolutely outstanding. But Dominic, I thought, was terrific tonight. He enjoyed that position a little bit deeper. Harvey was trying to stop. As you've seen with them, they like to play that little ball out into the middle and play it around the corner and get past the press. So Harvey was in to play that forward player.
I can tell you the answer to the question. We have it from the horse's mouth.
Oh, let's wait.
Dominic
let's hear it.
Says it was a cross.
Oh, I knew I should have stuck with my answer. I knew it.
You're
I've
not
gone
having
with
it,
you.
Are you? You
I've
still
gone to back you there. Look, I've got. Sorry, Dex.
I can't believe it. I'm going. Sorry. I'm going home.
Oh, listen, let's
We've
bring
looked after him there,
we have.
Let's bring our Zoom guests in on this, because we know what he said.
Becky, before we go, everybody,
go on.
I'd like to apologise to Gary Gillespie.
I'm sure he'll be watching, Gary.
Don't go
right, Sam,
dizzy.
I mean, let's get your thoughts on Dominic Szoboszlai, but we know what he says it was now. It was officially a cross, but did you think he meant that at the time?
I've got to say, maybe the pessimist in me, but I don't think he meant that with his face, and now he said it. But I want to know from Tomo and Jason, would they have been claiming it even if they hadn't meant it?
100%. I hardly scored, so I'm claiming that as a shot as well. Yeah, I'm totally
all day long.
It.
I wouldn't come out like Dominic and say, oh no, it was a cross. I'd say I'd whipped it over his head.
Tomo would never have been in that position.
I'd have had a nosebleed, which would have been good for everybody.
Yeah, that would have been bad, yeah.
Hey, Carlos, you've got to commend Dominic Szoboszlai for his honesty, I think. But what did you make of his performance this evening in general?
I thought he played really well, and, you know, he made that ball for Salah, didn't he, for the first goal, that crossfield ball, which Salah passed on to Conor Bradley. So, you know, he always works hard, doesn't he? But he had that quality tonight with the goal, with the pre-assist as well. No, the pre-assist, wasn't it? And yeah, I thought he did mean that, because I thought it might have been a training ground free kick move, because the way they took it, and he was trying to get the keeper off guard, you know, because he scored that goal against Man City, didn't they? But unfortunately, no, yeah. I'm quite disappointed that year. I didn't mean it.
But Carlos, you know, when you've seen that strike and you thought that was great, he had a free kick in a great position on the left-hand side of the box and he tried to bend it when I thought, go on, put your foot through it. And I was saying, why didn't he do that? Because he did it for his goal.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, it's all...
It's just not the same.
It's not the same anymore.
Kathleen, I'll bring you in on this, because it's 6 league goals now for Dominic Szoboszlai this season, 8 in total in all competitions. I think he and Alexis McAllister have given that Liverpool midfield what it's maybe been crying out for in recent seasons, which is more goals from the middle of the park, and they're certainly ticking that box.
I agree. When the play was happening, I screamed in the bar, what are they doing? Because it went out, they didn't do a normal penalty free kick. And so I was like, what are they doing? And then he did a banger, and I was like, okay, I'm good. So I think Szoboszlai and McAllister like really brought a lot to the midfield, not just with their scoring, but like their triangular passing between them and Ryan and the front line and everyone. So I just think it's really great additions to the team, and I can't wait to see what they do next year too.
I actually feel, I know he dropped deeper today and Harvey played further up, but I think Liverpool are a different animal when he plays further up. I think he's vitally important to start the press.
Yeah.
He's the one that sort of triggers it. And his energy in that final third where they win a lot of the ball back from the press and then create opportunities, I think he's a vital component in that area of the pitch. I know he's accommodated Harvey tonight and he's dropped deeper. He can play that. He's a talented player. And plus, he's got himself in a position where he's gone and scored from across. But yeah, he brings a lot of industry to that midfield. He's a vital component. He's more than just a runner as well.
And I don't know, Kathleen, I don't know whether you agree, you need more goals from midfield. Mm. You know, we're getting our goals from Mo, but from Cody, from Luis, we're not getting the goals like Sadio Mane did, Bobby Firmino did. And if you remember back, Jordan, Fabinho, you know, Millie and all them didn't score enough goals.
Yeah.
But these guys are giving us the goals that you need. I don't know. Do you agree, Kathleen?
I do. It's nice. I hope for more next season, but small progression. I think that's what's key, and they keep it up, and hopefully we can get more from our front line next season too.
I'm going to bring Carlos back in because he's got a question for you, Phil. Carlos, far away.
I have, yes. In 1983, when you won the league, I think you lost 5 of the last 7 games, didn't you?
Sorry, can we move on? Can we move on?
He doesn't like this question, Carlos.
I looked up the other day, Carlos, and you're quite right. I think it was 7 games to go. Did we lose 5 and draw 2 or something like that? And that's what I've tried to say to people, where you have the drop-off.
It's a very understandable situation.
The lads have been away, Arnaud has been away. We were away every weekend, so it didn't really make any difference to us. But there was a massive drop-off, and you have to understand that. And I'd like everybody, every Liverpool fan, not even to think badly of the players, because they have done us proud all season. And I think it is massive. But you're quite right, Carlos. We had a drop-off because we'd done our business nice and early.
Yeah, it's the psychology, I suppose, as much as the exhaustion that you probably feel at the end of a long season as well. But, you know, the psychological side of knowing that it's done, how do you manage to raise yourself to those levels when your dream is achieved for the season, Jase?
I mean, you try and stay as professional as you can, but complacency is something that is going to creep in, and Phil's right. And I think Ray Alton made a good point. You know, what is it? We conceded 8 goals in 3 games. You know, it's just uncharacteristic. We just, you know, we're just not that animal, are we? Yeah. We're not that team all season. So, you know, you've got to... it's very difficult to judge them right now, and I don't think it's fair to do that because of the circumstances. The job's done. Listen, if we were going into a Champions League final next week, maybe you could start being critical and think, you know, we shouldn't be doing this and that shouldn't be happening, and, you know, we'd become complacent at the wrong time. But I honestly don't think that would happen. I think that they'd be fully focused. They certainly wouldn't have been away for 4 days. The manager wouldn't have been in Ibiza. I think, and, you know, I think that's the right time to do it, because we were talking yesterday, you've got to savour them moments, Tomo, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Because the game now, you're just moving on. You just move on to something else within days.
Yeah.
You know, you're tight for this, and international football, you're off. You never get to celebrate it. I think it's vitally important you do that. So, you know, I think it's...
And he's right, you celebrate with your teammates.
Yeah.
Because you don't have that time.
No.
Because the season finishes.
You're off.
You'll have a week with the family. But then you're off on international duty.
Yeah.
And then you're back off business, on your own holidays if you can grab it. But you're not with your mates.
Yeah.
You're not with the guys who you've battled with for 9 months of the year. And you've gone forever doing it. And to have that little bit of a break with the lads is just, that is a special, special moment. As you said, you need to take all that in.
And the minute you get back to pre-season, you aren't talking about last season. You're fully focused on pre-season. What you've got to do is get in the team to keep your position. You know, your weight, your diet, everything is just... And you don't even, you know, talk about reminiscing or talk about the what's gone on before. You're fully focused on what's about to come. And it's gone. You know, that chance, that opportunity to celebrate, it's gone.
Well, someone who is always fully focused is the Liverpool head coach, Arne Slot. Here he is speaking with Rob Jones at the Amex. Rob.
Well, Arne, do you feel you deserved at least a point from that?
Maybe we did, yeah. I thought it was a great game of football to watch. Unfortunately, not with the result we wanted, but two games were really at it. Wanted to play out from the back, wanted to press high. No time wasting, no time delaying, no pretending if the other team made a foul. A little bit similar to our Paris Saint-Germain game, I would say. Unfortunately, with the same outcome, us losing that game of football.
Is it quite a difficult style to prep against Brighton? Because there's sort of some strange gaps appear in the pitch, but they go very high and often man-to-man as well. How's the best way to get out of it?
Either bringing your wing, getting the ball to your three attackers who are playing 1v1 and them being able to win their duel or hold the ball or win the second ball. This is what Brighton did in their third goal. We pressed them man-v-man. They played the ball long towards Mitoma, who had a great individual moment bouncing the ball to, I think, I'm not sure who it was. And he drove the ball all the way forward. So, that's sometimes trained. Timings are right in this situation for Brighton. And sometimes you need to win the second ball. Sometimes you need an individual that when they are 1v1, that they can go past their man. Because then it's 3v2 in our advantage. But that did not happen a lot. Apart from the moment, I think, second half, where Cody did win that ball and he was faster than his opponent. And he gave Mo, of course, the best chance of the game for us to go 3-1 up.
Obviously, you've done all of the hard work to become champions and not played too badly, particularly in this game and against Arsenal as well. But I guess there will be a big determination to finish with a win before you lift that trophy on Sunday.
No, of course. But it's going to be a completely different game against Palace than the ones we played against Chelsea, Arsenal and Brighton. These teams play in different systems. These teams want to press normally much higher than what Crystal Palace has done in the last few weeks and months. We always knew that Brighton away and Chelsea away and Arsenal at home are strong teams to face. And against Chelsea, I was quite pleased in the way we brought the ball out from the back, but that hardly led to chances. Today, we did the same again. We played so well, bringing the ball out from the back in many opportunities and did create chances as well. But unfortunately, we didn't score, and the momentum changed from the moment they scored 2-2. I think everybody felt that the stadium was behind them, and it was hard for us to win it from that moment onwards.
Thanks, Arne.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, honestly, a touch disappointed, but an honest reflection on tonight's game, Jase.
Yeah, it must be so difficult, mustn't it, to answer the questions when you get beaten, you know the circumstances and you've won the league again. For him, he's got to give the professional answer, an honest opinion. But like Tomo was saying before, you know, when... You, when you're playing it, I mean, he's obviously has done it and he's been in that moment. You know, that half a yard that you would make up if there's consequence, you make it up. But you know, sometimes when you won the league and all that, that half a yard just doesn't, you don't quite get there, which means when he's talking about winning second balls, you're half a yard off winning the second balls, and it's a massive important part of the game. You know, in certain areas, you win the ball back in certain areas, you're going to create opportunities, but you're going to score goals when you've got the talent that Liverpool have in the top area. So, yeah, difficult for him when they get beat, because he's got to be out there and he's got to answer the questions and he's got to do it honestly. And, you know, I'm sure he'd like to shout from the rooftops, I don't care, we've won the league and we're 20th times champions.
But he's, as he's saying, he's very honest, and he's been honest ever since he's come through the door, which I think is very enlightening. And he said today, you know, you look at the Chelsea game, you look at the Arsenal game, you look at the Brighton, they all had something on it. And, you know, Crystal Palace have maybe got their trophy in the bag. They're going to be sort of like that. They'll be coming to Anfield and want to play. But if they had something at stake, it'd be another tough game. But he's saying they play in a different way, and he's given us ideas that they, Crystal Palace, play differently from the other teams.
Yeah.
So it was good, and he was quite right. When it went 2-2, you felt the momentum shifting. And it was, there were certain times in the game, which doing the commentary, you felt there's a goal coming for them, which we were sloppy. And he mentioned second balls. And you go, second balls, it's a big part of football, or it's a part of football which has happened at whatever level. And we weren't at it today. We lost so many second balls, and he was quite right to flag it up.
You touched on it there, and it's a really good point. I think from a bench perspective, I think their bench was much more efficient when they come on than Liverpool's. I think their performance went up, didn't it? Matoma made a big difference, didn't he? Well, the goal scorer off the bench. You know, Liverpool's substitution didn't quite work tonight.
Yeah, they're wide men. They're fantastic, and they've caused us problems for years. We've had good times against them. Matoma, Adringa, you know, Minta. They're all good. They're all skillful. Gruda, you know, all great technicians. They seem to produce these, and it comes on, and one's a Paraguayan and one's, and you're going, my goodness, the recruitment is sensational. They bring them in, they sell them up, but they're good players.
Yeah.
And you're going, wow, they give us, but they wanted it so much more. And that's what I'm saying, we didn't, and yet we were still at it and deserved something out of the game.
Yeah, they've got a knack of unearthing real gems, haven't they, Brighton? A final away game of the season, of course, which means it's the perfect time to look back at some of your highlights on the road this campaign. Have you forgotten what you picked now? You have, haven't you?
I haven't even picked one.
Well, I've got one
you
here
did.
That...
Oh, tell me what I picked.
No,
I'd have to look at my text.
Well, what I can tell you, we're going to bring the Zoom guest back
picking
in
the outfit for
this
the parade.
As well. Oh, what is it? You've got
I'm
some
going
nice
blue,
suits.
Blue suit.
Blue.
Yeah, I'm going blue suit. Yeah.
He's not happy with that.
Navy. A suit navy. There'll be a hint of red in there. Don't worry.
There'll be a hint of you getting a hiding.
I'm in blue tonight.
We'll see what happens on Monday afternoon. Right, your away moment of the season, one that you all picked, was Manchester City, Jase. Do you remember choosing that one? We've got another one for you as well. You don't remember?
No, I
incredible.
Didn't pick City.
Right. You picked, well, you've, everybody said this.
Brentford.
But, yes,
Brentford,
we're going to get to Brentford in
go.
A moment, but let's have a look at Manchester City.
Yeah, this
so
was
this
good
was
as well.
End of February, this one, 2-0, obviously, and this felt like a real statement win, didn't it, Tomo, at the time, at a huge moment
in
the season.
Like, this was City not at the best, but this is City who... We are still their biggest rivals, no matter what. It's taken on its own sort of how lively this game can be. And we were going there. This could have been a big switch in the Premier League title race. And we were good. We were really good. And there is statement games that you do and you play. And there's Dominic again getting his goal. Mm. This was a massive win. This was playing City at the Etihad. This was comfortable.
Yeah.
Which I can't remember.
Yeah.
Sort of, Jason can't remember anyway.
I can't even remember what I picked. Do you know what, though, what I do remember? I remember thinking afterwards, that damage psychologically to City, I think really, really hurt them. I mean, you would have had it with your Liverpool teams where you feel invincible and you create this aura about yourselves. And you go into games not even contemplating losing. That there, I think psychologically, I think, the needle just went right out of them, and they thought, we've lost this aura. Liverpool battered them.
I think even with City having a hard time, I think if you remember it back, if the guys on Zoom remember back, that could have been a big switch. If they'd have won, got the 3 points, it had got them closer to us, I think, and it would have put the pressure back on. But that gave us that little bit of a leeway. And it's the emotional.
It was a huge mental win.
Wow, that was a statement win.
Well, you did pick Brentford, so we're going to show that now. But Sam also picked it, so we'll get both of your thoughts on that.
Yeah.
But let's have a look at how this one unfolded. This was in January, wasn't it? Mid-January. Looked like it was heading towards a goalless draw until stoppage time, Jase.
Yeah, and you just touched on it there. January is a horrible month. It's horrible. And it's not just because of the weather, which is freezing, and I think there was a touch of rain. They're away from home, they've gone down to London, but you're off the back of a Christmas period, which is just games, games, games. And, you know, you've got to find the energy. And for them, I think they were they 1-0 down? Or did they won 2-0, didn't they? But really late. And that was the game. I was doing the game, and that's the one where I thought, oh, our name could be on this. Mm. You know when you just think there's moments in a season and you think, oh, hello. And I just thought it was this. He come on as a sub, didn't he, Nunes? Sure he did. And I remember thinking, oh.
It's great games at times. And I remember beating, I don't know what it was when we won the league, and we beat Leicester down at the King Power, and we beat them 4-4, I think it was, on Boxing Day.
Mm.
And it was always a tricky place. Mm. And you're thinking, if we can get something out of this. And we were just magnificent.
I remember that game,
psychologically as well, talking about the City. That for a football team, when they come back and they win, you know, late, score two goals, get over the line, that psychologically is massive as well.
Sam, it was your pick as well, Brentford. Like the lads, was that a moment where you felt like, hang on, this could be real this season, we could be doing this?
Absolutely. I think both the Man City away game and Brentford against... Arsenal dropped points on both those occasions on the same weekend. So against Brentford, we extended the lead to 6 points. And that's when I think, like Jason says, a lot of us started to believe that weekend. Man City was actually the weekend I thought we'd won it. Brentford was the weekend where I thought I believe now. But just going back to that Brentford game, we'd drawn against Man United. We'd lost the League Cup first leg. And we'd drawn away against Forest. And so we weren't actually on a good run. And I'm coming into that game. It was a tough, as Jason says, it's January. Things weren't going our way in the game. Trent was moving. Trent moved forward. He was doing that thing where he moves into the middle and he becomes more of an influence. Nunez came on about the hour mark and he wasn't actually having much effect. And then when he scored, it came good in the end. And that's when I think most of us believed. And ironically, you know, he hadn't done much until that point and he hasn't really done much since. But Nunez will always to be able to say now, I played a major part in winning that league that season, because if we hadn't won that day, I think we probably would have still won the league, but it would have been a lot closer. Arsenal would have only been 4 or 5 points behind at that point. And 6 points then makes it two full defeats and wins, a full two-game swing then. So for me, Brentford away was one of my games of the season.
Well, that was January. Let's go back to only a few weeks before that one against Brentford and show you what happened in the final away game before Christmas against Tottenham. Kathleen, this is your pick. Feast your eyes on 6 Liverpool goals on this night. There was 9 in total this day.
This was some game, to be honest.
This was some game. Yeah. This could have been anything.
They had a little goal towards the end as well, didn't they? Scored a few.
I mean, 5-1 up after just an hour.
They blew them away. They absolutely blew them away. And then Tottenham, again, complacency just there, you know. And then all of
that
a sudden...
That was McAllister, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, boom, they're back in it.
Yeah, it was and a game think, that probably encompassed Spurs' season in a way, Tommy.
It was very Spursy, wasn't it? I was desperate not to say it.
Well, I've done it for you, but it was an incredibly Spursy game, wasn't it, Tommy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was... It was one of those games where... I couldn't believe it. It just went end to end. This was 6-3. Yeah. This could have really have been something like 9-5.
Yeah, it could have been like a school
it was,
game.
Oh, not half.
Kathleen, you would have been... Sorry, Tomo, go on.
No. The goals were just raining in and they all of a sudden got a lease of life. And it just got more and more. But it was one of the great games that you could watch. But as being a defender, you want more.
You couldn't take your eyes off it at times for goals, could you? Kathleen, you would have been watching that in Delaware. I imagine quite some scenes in the pub when that game was on.
Yes, exactly. It was crazy here. And then especially what happened last year at Tottenham, it was kind of like vindication for everything that occurred last season there. And I just we loved all the goals and we got to celebrate, sing all the songs. So that was why it was my pick. And then for Man City, why I chose that one, just to put back to that one, it was Mo's, I think, 30th goal of the season and 25th in the EPL. So it was just like a big milestone for him. So that's why I really like Man City as well.
Carlos, you've picked not too far away from the others. It was the start of February, this one against Bournemouth. Talk us through why this is your choice. They were in great form at the time.
They were, yeah, another 2-0 as well, because they like winning 2-0 this season, didn't they, Honest Lots Reds? I just thought, I remember being on here after the PSV game, and no disrespect to Bournemouth, but you never ever thought that Liverpool going to Bournemouth would be one of these massive games. And it was a massive game, because we've seen how well Bournemouth have played this season. The talent they've got, you know, I'd like a couple of those players coming to Liverpool next season, one been linked with heavily in the last couple of days or so. And they have been playing so well, and going to Bournemouth's not the easiest of games, and I just thought they just played so well. It was a proper away performance, I thought, at Bournemouth. And Salah, man for the big occasion, or for the man for many occasions, scored those two goals. That second goal was an absolute whopper, wasn't it?
Carlos,
brilliant. And,
am I right in thinking, did they, while it was 1-0, did they miss a City? Was it
Clivert? You talked about big moments.
Big moments in the game.
And that was it.
I think I was doing that game. And
yeah,
he missed an absolute
side foot. And he was on fire at the time.
He knocked it out exactly.
I think he might have scored a hat-trick the week before or something. And everyone was raving about him and stuff. And he was a massive threat.
No.
But I agree with you, Carl. I thought on the day, apart from that miss, which actually could have changed the complexion of the game, I thought it was a great away performance.
Well, listen, we've just got time to squeeze in yours, which was right at the start of the season, really, against Manchester United. I think this was to set down a real marker after two wins
you
already
just
against.
You said it. It's a real marker.
It was, wasn't it?
Manchester United. I don't care how bad they are at times. This is huge, and it's getting bigger for them by the season playing us. To beat them at their own ground. I think our guys on Zoom there will all agree. It's always a great result. Gives you a great bragging rights. We all know Man United fans, it means so much. And I just think it was another statement away day victory. And we were just absolutely, this is a game that could have been 7 or 8.
Yeah, it was men against boys.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
I think I used that phrase when I was doing my punditry work. I didn't feel for Ten Hag, but I didn't feel for him. I felt when you get beat by Liverpool, but proper beaten by Liverpool at Old Trafford, it's a matter of time.
They've done it enough to us in the past. I have no regrets whatsoever, enjoying every minute of them.
And we're going to enjoy every minute of this weekend as well, because we're coming to the end of the show, but we can't not talk about Palace and then, of course, the parade the day after as well. Everyone is looking forward to another massive party, I think, Tom. We've done it once. We're going to do it again.
The Spurs thing was great. We have waited 35 years for this moment to celebrate, enjoy it. Nobody does it better than what we do. As Liverpool fans, we're unique, we are passionate, we're emotional, and I think both days are going to be special.
Do you know what's nice about the game? Is you've got the FA Cup winners coming
to Anfield, coming to the league champions. FA Cup winners they are too, I think.
It's nice. I mean, I know we're going to get them in the
Community
Shield now, Tom. It is the Charity Shield. But yeah, it's great that they come, and I hope they bring that. Let's have a massive celebration together.
I feel like both sets of fans are going to be in the most celebratory mood ever.
I'll call Brighty.
But we don't get it till after the game, so they'll have to wait to bring their one out.
You used to get it before the game, didn't you? I spoke to Steve Nichol. He used to get the trophy and then have to play. And he said it was like...
Yeah, it's just that we wanted to get out to the pubs quicker.
So we'll just get it over with. Like, we'll do the celebrating, then play, and then get out.
Right, it has been a pleasure, you two, as always. Listen, that is us pretty much done for this evening. A big thanks to Phil, to Jason, and as well to our guests on Zoom, on the fan panel. Before we go, just time to let you know the details of that final match day live of the season, and what a big one it is. It is the day we've been waiting for, as Tomo said, on Sunday, Premier League Trophy Day at Anfield. Build up to that final day clash with Crystal Palace starts 2:45 ahead of a 4 o'clock kickoff. We will be pitch side before and after the game, when Virgil van Dijk, of course, will get his hands on that Premier League trophy in front of a full house of Liverpool supporters. It sounds pretty good, that, doesn't it? And if you cannot be in the city for the parade next bank holiday Monday, then you can enjoy extensive coverage of the whole event. It will, of course, be live right here on LFC TV. The parade begins at 2:30 and we will be live from 1 o'clock. So the season is almost done. A very entertaining watch down at Brighton tonight, but not the result we wanted in the end. One game to go and there's some serious celebrating to be had. Good night. That is it for tonight's episode of The Reaction. We will be back again on Sunday, though, with analysis and interviews too from Anfield after Liverpool face Crystal Palace on the final day of the season, when they will, of course, be lifting the Premier League trophy. Until then, if you haven't done already, please do give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop.